As always, I'm happy to be here, happy to be doing this. I was praying about what I should be speaking on and if it was supposed to be something new or if it was supposed to be whatever, and the phrase light came to my mind, and I've ministered a while back on something similar, but this will be the updated version. But I think it's important. Light. What is light? What is our role in light? What was Christ's role in light? He is the light, right? So that's going to be my purpose today. My goal is to establish Jesus is the light, and then how that manifests through us, through our lives, our everyday lives. We're going to get right into some scripture. I'm going to read three quick verses. But John 8:12 says, this is Jesus speaking, I am the light of the world. He who follows me, remember that term, he who follows me, shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. John 12:46, I have come as a light unto the world, that whoever believes in me shall not abide in darkness. And then John 1:4-5, in him was life, and the life was the light of mankind. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not overcome it. So I don't think in this group I have to work too hard at establishing that Jesus is the light. You know, I think everybody here, for the most part, understands that. So I'll be focusing more. I just want to get that out of the way, back it up with some scriptures that Jesus is the light and he is life. You know, when I was writing this, it popped into my head in Genesis that light came first, right? Let there be light. And then a day or two later, the source of light was created for the earth. And then man was created. So he is light. He is life. His life draws us out of darkness. His light cannot be overcome. Period. His light cannot be overcome. I don't care how dark this world looks. I don't care how dark this world gets. The light of Jesus Christ, the good news of the gospel, cannot be overcome. People can deny it, but it cannot be overcome. But it needs to be established in us. Because will we be overcome? Will those around us be overcome? You know, we have to know who we are. We have to know that that light is in us, and it's the light of life. When we accept Jesus, this life and light abide in us. It dwells in us. He has made his home in us. We don't have to search for it. It's in us. Jesus did his job. Now it's time to do ours, right? So Matthew 5, starting in verse 14, we'll go through 16. Matthew 5:14-16. So now this is Jesus talking to believers. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. So some points of focus on these verses here. We must believe. So it starts with belief. We have to believe. We have to believe the word is true, regardless of what others say around us, regardless of what's going on around us. He who follows will not walk in darkness, but in the light of life. Our light should affect those around us. When our light shines, it glorifies the Father. So here comes the challenge, right? It's not condemnation, it's a challenge. Is our light being seen? Or is it being hid under a basket? Do our works glorify the Father? And it's not works of the law. That's not what it's about. Because when we establish relationship, that love flows through us, and it results in doing things for others, right? Love results in helping others and ministering into other people's lives. And I mean, works is a part of it. But it comes with relationship. It's not a have to. It's just that compassion that wells up inside of you when we see other people in need. You know, we just last night, good friends of ours' house burned to the ground. And they got out with the clothes on their back. Right? So the compassion, the love of Christ wells up in us and says, how do we help? Right? How do we help these people? That's what this is talking about. You know, that's the works, you know, that this is talking about. It's not if you do this, and this, then this will happen. It's not the works of the law. I believe understanding this concept of light is critical to being an effective Christian. Because that's our goal, right? It's not just about being a convert. Yes, that's the first step. But after that, it doesn't stop. Christianity doesn't stop. Our growth doesn't stop. It should accelerate forward. You know, a lot of times it's preached conversion, 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 conversion. Then you get all these people converted, and then what? They go home and they have nothing. They have no resources. They have no idea what they're doing. And that word is pulled away, you know. The sower and the seed, they hear, but because they did not understand, it's taken from them. You know what? So, and I believe the whole key here is in that verse in John 8:12. He who follows. Discipleship. He who follows. Discipleship. Matthew 28:19-20. Says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. So that term teach, in the Greek, teach and disciple can be interchanged. It's kind of the same thing. Thayer's definition of teach is to be a disciple of one, to follow his precepts and his instructions, to make a disciple, to teach and to instruct. So, you know, we have this commission. Go ye into the world and teach. How do we teach? We need to be raised up in the Word. We need to be disciples of the Word. We need to be disciples of what Jesus has to say so we can share what Jesus said. You know, when this all started, I wanted to be used, but I was not usable because I wasn't a disciple. I had little bits and pieces of knowledge, but nothing substantial that I could really affect anybody's life with. We're not called to be converts. We're called to grow up. We're called to discipleship. Discipleship is what brings relationship. Understanding the Word of God, understanding what Jesus did for us. And when we start that relationship, those revelations come of who He is and what we're supposed to be doing and what our purpose is. It starts with discipleship. It starts with, I mean, if you want to be any good at anything in your life, you have to study. You know, when I was a kid, I had all these big dreams of doing this and doing that, but I never devoted myself to anything. I was pretty good at a lot of things, but I never devoted myself to be great at something. You know? Maybe some people can relate, and I see it in my son, unfortunately. And so I want to try and focus him. I don't want that characteristic of myself to be passed on to him. I want him to see something he wants, and I want him to go for it. Jesus wants us to see who he is and to go for it. with all of our hearts, with all of our minds, not just this half-hearted attempt, and then when things fail and things get rough, oh, woe is me, we have nothing to build ourselves up on. This stuff comes with discipleship, being a follower, right? We have been called, so all those verses in John beforehand, the life, Jesus is the life and the light, that's that Zoe life of God. I like Thayer's definition a lot in this. So that life, that Zoe life, a state of one who is possessed of vitality. Possessed with vitality. Of the absolute fullness of life. The Zoe life of God is the absolute fullness of life. And that's my goal, is fullness of life in this life. I know, we know eternity's coming, but we can experience so much more in this life. And it doesn't matter what's going on in the world. We can still experience fullness. I'll take fullness of spirit over fullness of wealth any day. Because when things get tough, that wealth is only going to bring you so far. Right? Having a spirit that knows who Jesus is, having a spirit that leads you and guides you, is so much more important than any worldly possession, than anything that the world can offer. And these revelations come through discipleship. Discipleship leads to a deeper relationship and revelations of the promises of what Jesus has for us. It causes our light to be seen. And that's the goal here. We want our light to be seen because when it is seen, we can help others. There's no purpose of a lighthouse if the light can't be seen. Right? It doesn't matter how much I know if my actions aren't telling somebody, maybe I should go ask him. Maybe he can help. Maybe they can help. If my actions are turning people off instead of inviting them in, I've missed it. I've missed it somewhere. And it's the old, you can go into condemnation over it, or you can rise up to the challenge and say, okay, Lord, where did I miss it? What do I need to know? What do I need to do? And then I believe it's discipleship. We need to know the word. We need to know who Jesus is. We need to know who the Holy Spirit is, and we can do it. But it takes some effort. You know, like when I was a kid, I would put a little effort into it. Things would get tough and hard, and I'd have to really start pushing, and then I would back off. I guess I didn't really want to do that much. You know, but if we want to be great at something, and that's what I'm happy about the Marine Corps, because it instilled that in me, whether I wanted it in me or not. You were going to go forward, and it doesn't matter if you were drug kicking and screaming. It's a lot easier if you just go, because they're going to get you there one way or the other. So you just go, because it's a lot less painful. But it's no different. It's no different here in the Word. We have so much. There's so much here. There's everything here for life and godliness. But are we putting it in our hearts? Are we studying it out? Are we seeking out teachers to help? And this isn't just for the fivefold ministry, right? Yes, they have a specific call. But if we're supposed to be disciples, we need to be able to disciple, right? On any level, you know. Learn the good news of the gospel so we can share the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. So we can lead people. Like, I had a really, you know, I'm going through school right now, and so we had to prepare a 10-minute salvation sermon. And it was funny because I started it, and I was like, oh my gosh. I don't know that I had a lot of this in my heart to be able to share. And this is salvation. and I'm up here preaching once a month. Right? I mean, these are the things, like, I can teach on the Holy Spirit because I've dug in and I've put all my time in there, but I should probably know how to lead somebody to salvation. Right? I should probably know a few scriptures to refer them to, you know? I don't want to have to spend 20 minutes. Give me a sec. I need to Google this real quick. You know, word searching everything. Like, and this is the stuff that's for everybody. This is the stuff we can know. This is the discipleship that if I run into somebody, how do I lead them to salvation? If I run into somebody, I lead them to salvation. How do I lead them in the baptism of the Holy Spirit? That's for everybody. That's the kind of stuff that's for everybody. That's the kind of stuff we need to know. It didn't matter how much I knew about anything else. Because when it came to salvation, it was like, I balked. And I hate to admit it, but I did. And I'm so happy that class happened because it opened my eyes, right? And it said, well, you maybe don't know as much as you think you know, and maybe it's time to focus on some of the basics. You know, we all want the deeper things of God and the deeper revelations of God. Well, first, know how to lead somebody to salvation. You know, it's as simple as that. It's these steps, you know, line upon line, precept upon precept, step after step, you know. How can I disciple somebody if I can't lead them into salvation? How do I disciple somebody about the Holy Spirit if I know nothing about the Holy Spirit? But this is for all of us. So to be a disciple, we follow. Right? But what are we following? In the definition, you know, it's his precepts, his commands, his instructions. And where do we get those precepts and those commands and those instructions? In the Word. You know, we get those precepts and commands and instructions by listening and softening ourselves to be led by the Holy Spirit. As always, Jesus is our example. In this life, Jesus is our example. Because if we see Jesus, we've seen the Father. I've talked about it before. It's this funnel. The Father has given all to Jesus. Jesus gives all to the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit bears witness in ourselves. So that's that relationship that we got to focus on. That's that relationship we got to understand. But it's Jesus' example that we can find in the Word. It's Jesus' example that we can draw on, that we can learn from, because it's right there in the Gospels. So if you want, turn to John 13:34. John 13:34-35, it says, "A new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all men will know you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Love is the foundation. Love is what everything is built up on. If I don't have love for my fellow man, and it's not always the, I want to hug you and, you know. Love is truth. And sometimes truth can be difficult for people to hear, but I love you so much that I'm going to tell you the truth, right? So it's not always this, you know, it's not always this emotional thing, you know. Jesus is love, and he expressed it through his works on this earth. He expressed it for what he did to other people. So if we're ever wondering, well, how do I do this? What did Jesus do? You know, to be cliche. Just worked out that way. It's not even in my notes. It just worked out that way. But love is the foundation. I wasn't effective in my life because I didn't love anybody. And we'll read Matthew. Turn to Matthew 22. Verse 37, we'll start 37 and go through 40. So this is where the Pharisees come to Jesus and the lawyers trying to trip him up. He asks him, what's the greatest commandment? And Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So, first, I need to have his love flowing in me, because my love will never ever measure up. Because most of the time I'm just selfish, or I was selfish, and I still fight it in certain situations and in certain circumstances, because it's not my love that draws others to repentance. That's why he said, you shall love your God with all your heart. That is the first and greatest commandment, because we can't do it in ourselves. I hated myself, so how can I possibly love anybody else? And I see it all over the place, living in past regrets, living in, past circumstances that we can't change anymore, but I just absolutely hated myself for it. And it beat me down and it made me ineffective. But once I realized that it's not anything I can do, right? It's nothing that we can do. It's what Jesus does through us. It's what the gospel has done through me. It's what's understanding the word and having revelation of who I am in him. Regardless of what I've done in the past, we can come out of this. We can move forward. We don't have to sit and wallow in the past. Because you're not going to go anywhere. You're not going to be an effective disciple. It's over. Move on. Guess what? Jesus already forgave you. You should probably forgive yourself and go, right? Because this is how we got to get this junk out, because it's dimming our light. When I'm bitter and hard, nobody wants to really talk to me. And it's amazing, because people still did. I don't know why. God loves me so much. He does. God loves me so much. Because there was a period there where nobody should have loved me. But thank God for a lovely wife who put up with me. Thank God for a pastor who looked past my faults and saw purpose and saw potential. Thank God for friends who would come up and call me out. I needed that. Other people need that. Because if we're not helping anybody, how do we draw them up and out? If they're just constantly being bombarded with who they are and who they were, we need to raise people up. Love sometimes can be difficult, right? Most of the time, until we start getting this revelation, But love is the foundation. If you want to search out love a little more, you can go to 1 Corinthians 13, 1 John 4, are great chapters about love. But when you read 1 Corinthians 13, make sure you remember that's God's love through us. Because you'll never achieve that love in and of yourself. And that's the key here. This life is about, this relationship is about letting him work through us. It doesn't always make sense in our minds. Well, I got to do something. No, you don't. Just be led. Yep, sometimes, we got to take that step. You got to walk before you can be led. Because, unlike the Marine Corps, Jesus isn't going to drag you. Unfortunately. He'll never stop speaking. He'll never stop showing you the way. But I had to take a step. I had to begin walking. I had to begin following Because if I wasn't following, how am I led? If I'm sitting in a spot and somebody takes off, once they're out of sight, that's it. You know, that's not what this is about. Discipleship is about following. Discipleship is about building your life after that example, building your life on the Word, building your life on being led by the Holy Spirit. It's here. He wants this for us. We can achieve this. That's the thing. We can achieve this. Like I said before, it has to be His love. His love measures up. Ours never will. But when it's His love flowing through us, you know it. You know. You know it. Because His love never fails. John 14:23. So, discipleship comes, I believe, through maturing in the Word, right? We start maturing in the Word. We start growing up in the Word. We start putting the Word in our hearts. It's so important to have good teachers in your life. You know? And I pray that we are that for you here. That's my heart, as I pray that you guys are learning and growing, and, you know, because I'm still learning and growing, but my heart is always, I pray this comes across to where we can you guys can understand this, because I want us to grow, because victory comes in growth. Fullness comes through growth. All these promises come through growth, and they are achievable. He would be an unjust God if He would tell us this and not make it achievable. And He is just. He is good. You have to purpose in your heart that this is for you. So John 14:23, if a man loves me, he will keep my word. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home in him. We keep His word. Not because He first loved me. Right? He first loved me, so now I can love. And it's not a have to. It's, man, you loved me so much. And my heart is just drawn to the word. My heart is drawn to wanting to know more about Him, to deepening this relationship. Again, John 8:31. Then Jesus said to the Jews who believed in Him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. What are you dealing with? The truth is in the word. And it may not always happen in a split second. There may be some time involved. There may be some growing involved. But the truth is in the Word. Are you filling yourself with the Word? You shall know the truth. How do we know the truth? If you abide in His Word. Right? It's right there. Then you are my disciples. The truth of the word is love like Jesus loves. And that love comes through understanding Jesus. You know, He is our example. He is the express image of the Father. We don't have to wonder anymore. We have it right here in the Gospels. The truth of the word is you are the light of the world. Doesn't matter what your mind's telling you. Doesn't matter what your flesh is telling you. The truth of the word is that you are the light of the world. Am I choosing to be that light? Right? Am I making choices that let my light shine, or am I making choices that shove me under a basket? You know, for a long time, I was under that basket in that darkness. Because darkness cannot overcome the light of Christ. Cannot. The truth of the word is he who follows will have the light of life. As always, this is not a have to. You know, Jesus loves you. And if you get saved and you're content with struggling and always having questions and always wondering why, and he still loves you, odds are you're on your way to heaven. But it's going to be a not so fun life, right? Let's tap into the truth of the word. Let's tap into what he did for us. Let's be followers of Christ. Let's be disciples of Christ, because this is how we affect others. Because I don't know the people that you know. You don't know the people that I know. You know, and I'll give you an example of how fleshy I can still be. You know, we had Christmas, and it's been a long couple days period, and it was getting later in the evening, and some family wanted to come over, and I'm not going to lie, I had a bad attitude about the family coming over that late. I wanted to lay down and not do anything for the rest of the night, but I'm glad that family came over, because my sister-in-law was just diagnosed with breast cancer. Three kids, young kids, you know. A Christian, but I would say probably not, you know, really versed. And I had an amazing opportunity to sit there for about 45 minutes and just minister. You know, because she's hearing, you know, well, the chemo's not so bad anymore. And she's hearing, well, man, mastectomy, you know, there's a lot they can do now. And don't say that. That's not the only truth. That's not the only truth. And I was sitting there listening to it, and it was making me upset. And finally, I had a moment with her where everybody else left. Me and Heather were sitting there, and it was just welling up inside of me. Say something. Do something. That's what you're here to do, right? And finally, I did. You know, because this is what I still struggle with. You know, just I can stand up and speak to 100 people easier than I can one-on-one. It's funny how that works, but I really can. I would rather this place be packed. I can do this. But one-on-one, it's hard for me because I had no confidence. I had no boldness in who I am, and I'm still growing in that, you know. I'm still growing in boldness. I don't say everything that I'm supposed to say. I don't do everything that I'm supposed to do. I'm still growing in this, but I thank God that he keeps bringing opportunities along. So, you know, if I had just succumbed to the want to take a nap and not do anything, I would have missed out on an amazing opportunity to speak life into somebody, to speak hope into somebody, to be the light that we're supposed to be. You know, this is all in us. Are we choosing it? You know? I don't know where this journey is taking me, but I'm going to be talking to a lot of people, I have a feeling, you know? So I need to get over this. I need to be able to step out. I need to be able to minister. And it comes with confidence in the word, and it comes with discipleship, planting that word in my heart, and then speaking when I need to speak. And, you know, if I mess up, I mess up, and I keep on going. You know, that was one thing that really, you know, as a kid, if I knew I wasn't going to be, like, perfect at it, if I knew I wasn't going to be the best at it, sometimes I just wouldn't do it, you know? Because I knew this kid was faster than me, so I'm not going to race, you know? I don't want to come in second, you know? So I'm going to put myself in positions to come in first. But that doesn't translate to ministry. Because if you think you're going to always have the perfect thing to say, and if you think you're always, and even if you have the perfect thing to say, it may come out imperfect. You know, I have a way of botching things sometimes. I have a way of getting clammed up. I know what I want to say, but it's... And then I miss it. You know, it doesn't matter. Because it's that obedience that grows us up. Right? And then I can learn from that experience. Well, maybe I need to dig a little more into salvation. You know, like the simple things. Maybe I just need to really know how to lead somebody to Christ because that's important. You know? So it's... I hope you see I'm standing up here not perfect. I don't have it all figured out. But I'm going forward. I'm growing. And I'm not letting it hold me back. Because that's the kind of stuff that held me back in the past. I would mess up and then it would just be, well, I'm not doing it anymore. You know, that's it. And that can't be our attitude. We have to push forward. We have to know who we are. And I'm beginning to know who I am. I don't have a full revelation of who I am. But I'm going to continue to push forward. I have enough revelation to know that Jesus loves me and that he has a purpose and a plan for my life. And I have enough revelation to know that I have something to say. And whether it comes out perfect or not, you know, so be it. I'll make up for it the next time. You know, I mean, but I'm still growing. We're all growing, or we all should be growing. We need this light to shine. Way back when I started, because I had this idea and this concept a while ago, and when I was thinking of probably a year ago now, and when I was thinking about it, I was thinking about, you know, our mission for this valley. Our purpose for this valley is to be a light up and down the St. Croix River Valley. And when I was, you know, it wasn't like I was figured somewhere and I saw this, but I just saw the valley like a map. And I saw little lights popping up and down the valley, and they kept popping, and they kept getting, and when more lights were congregated, that light got brighter and brighter and brighter and brighter, and it just ended up consuming the whole valley. That's what we're here to do. That's our mission. That's our purpose. If you're a part of this church, your mission and purpose is for the River Valley. Jump on board. Because that's what we're here to do. We've placed ourselves in this because we want to affect change in the River Valley. That's what we're here to do. Establish it in your heart. Start meditating on, what do I do? You know, let's start growing in the Word so when we have the opportunity to speak, something's there. You know, the Holy Spirit brings to our remembrance. It brings to our remembrance what? The Word. You know? The Holy Spirit uses the Word to minister, if you didn't know. I would imagine most of you know. But it's what's in our heart that's going to come out. You know? And for a long time, there was nothing in my heart but just junk. And so junk came out. And so I didn't talk a lot because I knew junk was just going to come out. You know? So I love drumming. I could just sit behind my cage and be anonymous and take my aggressions out and not have to talk to anybody during meet and greet because I was in the cage still, you know. This is who I was, and I was just a jerk. But like most jerks, you can put on a good face when you need to, you know. But true friends, and they saw through it, you know, and they helped. But let's help others. Let's be that light. Well, Chloe, go to Ephesians real quick. Ephesians 5, 1. So, therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children. Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us as a fragrant offering and a sacrifice of God. Do not let sexual immorality or any impurity or greed be named among you, as these things are not proper among the saints. Let there be no filthiness, no foolish talking, no coarse joking, which are not fitting. Instead, give thanks. For this you know, that no sexually immoral or impure person or one who is greedy or one who is an idolater has an inheritance in the kingdom of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words. For because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. For you were formerly of darkness. But now you are light in the world. We are different because we have Jesus. Walk as children of the light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, proving what is pleasing to the Lord. So, verses 3 through 7 are those things that dim our light. Are those things that are those baskets that cover who we are. You know, we are different. We have something different. We have something that can affect change in people's lives. And it comes through knowing who we are. It comes through knowing that you're a light. And how is that light affecting others? It comes through knowing that love is the foundation. And when you have that foundation, you can help others. I love verse 9. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Are our actions goodness, righteousness, and truth? Because if they are, the Father is glorified. Right? When we're disciples and we're walking this light and life, we have goodness and truth pouring out of us. This is who we are. It's not verses 3 through 6. That is not who, that's who we formerly were. But it is no longer who we are. We are the light of this world. Jesus did his job. And now he's given it to us. He's given us the commission. Go teach. Go make a difference in people's lives. We don't know what's coming in this next year. I pray it's better than the last year. But we don't know. And no matter what happens, does that change the truth of God's word? No. Does that change the fact that we are the light of the world? No. If anything, it should drive us to become brighter. Because we are what this world needs. If you want to affect change in politics, start affecting change in people's spirits. If you want to affect change on the street with the rioting and everything else, affect change in people's spirits. Because what happens if things don't go our way? Do we lock ourselves in and pray for the rapture? Is that what our life's going to be if things don't go our way? Or do we say, no, I'm the light of the world. I have the good news of the gospel. I am called to reach people. I am called to teach people. I am called to affect people's life like Jesus did. And we can do this. We can do this. Are we followers? So just a couple closing points. Because of Jesus, we have the light of life. He is the source. Look to him. Look to him when you have questions. Look to him. What did he do? Be a follower. Be a disciple. Following is an action. It's an action. We have to take these steps. I can't force you to do it. Pastor Jonah can't force you to do it. We can help you along. We really want you to do it. We really want to be, for all of us to be affecting people's lives around us, but we can't make you. It has to be a choice. This is a choice. Let the word be planted in your heart. Because when these situations arise, it's the word that's going to help. It's the word that's going to bring change. This is a challenge. There's no condemnation here. How are we going to meet it? We can. It's in you. You can do this. We can all do this. You have help. Call me. I'll help. And if I can't help, I'll send you to Pastor Jonah. And if he can't help, he'll send you to Pastor John. You know, it's just, we'll find somebody who can help. You know? But I just think the coronavirus isn't the only thing killing people. Right? It's not the only thing still going on in the world. You know, there's still people that need to be talked through breast cancer. There's still people that need to be ministered through their house burning down. There's so much life is still going on. We need to be able to help. You know? Yeah, and I'm dealing with coronavirus. My father's in the hospital right now. Doesn't matter, though. Because I believe he's going to be out soon and life goes on and we keep moving forward. Coronavirus isn't going to paralyze me. This will not paralyze me. If anything, it's getting me more fired up for people to know the truth. The truth will set them free. The truth sets me free. And we are the light of the world. Let that light shine. Let that light shine. All right. We'll close in prayer here. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you that you are good. You are good, that you are so good you sent us your word. You are so good you sent us your son. You are so good that you sent us the Holy Spirit to walk this life out in fullness, to walk this life out in strength and victory. And Father, I speak right now that nothing that's going on around us is going to deviate us from your plan and your purpose. Father, we thank you that your word is truth and your word is life, and we can rest on that. Nothing the world has can satisfy what you have, Father. You are great and you are glorious, and I thank you as we go out this week, Father, that you're bringing opportunities across our path to be light to those around us. I thank you that you're stirring our hearts to dig deeper into who you are, stirring our hearts, making our hearts soft to receive that word on the inside and let it take root and bear fruit, Father. We thank you for this week. We thank you for the opportunities to come. We thank you that you are good. In Jesus' name, amen.